I'm Holding Out for a Hero Till the End of the Night, written by Violetta von Violet, read by Raven. Summary: Tim goes out at night to take photos of the bats. Twice, he meets Jason. Only once is it Robin. But Jason's suddenly 2 feet taller and wearing a red helmet. Something's clearly wrong here. Chapter 1. Young Jason is an absolute menace. Tim always carried pepper spray with him. Always. Living in a city like Gotham, that was practically a given. He wouldn't be surprised if every last citizen had some sort of weapon on them at all times. It was necessary. It was especially necessary when one was 10 years old and currently sneaking around in the shadows of the night. No, Tim wasn't afraid. No way. He'd done this at least 1,000 times by now. This was just routine. Still, he palmed his pocket, reaching for the spray can, just to be on the safe side. It was still securely tucked away, and yet easily reachable. Not for the first time that night, he shivered and cursed himself for thinking it was still warm enough to go out in a hoodie without a jacket. The day had been positively pleasant for Gotham, but as soon as the sun had gone down, it became freezing. The rooftop he was on was damp and uncomfortable, especially because he didn't dare move more than an inch at a time. Tonight was special, different from normal patrol. There was a deal going down 2 houses over, a meeting between Two-Face and Penguin that threatened to become rather explosive. Tim had heard about it, Reed spied, on the police frequency he'd hacked into a while ago. Batman was supposed to be there to scout out the location. With Two-Face's mental instability, one could never know what one would get, and that made him dangerous. But that didn't really matter to Tim. Beside the fact that it was a great chance to get some new and exciting photos, it was exactly the kind of mission Batman would bring Jason, no, Robin, along to, and he wanted to get some more prints of the new sidekick. The change had happened maybe 8 months ago, and he'd been so excited to get Robin back, even if it was a different kid beneath the domino. The lack of Dick's cheery presence had made for rather sucky shots of a sulking bat without his bird. He adjusted the settings on his camera. Night photography wasn't easy, far more finicky than daytime, and even after years of practice, it was still complicated. His camera was specifically made for this, though. With a great zoom and a sleek matte finish, it had been his birthday gift from his parents, or more like their credit card. Tim had been given a price range and access to the internet and had been told to get himself something. He'd indulged himself a bit and had added gift packaging as well. It felt less lonely like that, with a packaged gift on his doorstep. And besides, what mattered far more was the camera inside, anyway. He'd been working with it for a little over 2 months now, and it worked great. He was so deeply entranced in the many intricacies of the settings that he nearly jumped a foot in the air when something brushed past his shoulder. It was definitely a hand. That much Tim could figure out before he had his pepper spray in hand and scrambled upwards to pull the trigger on instinct in the vague direction of his would-be attacker. The motion made him stumble and he fell, tripping over his shoelaces that must have come undone sometime earlier. The would-be attacker stumbled backwards as well, surprised by the gas, but he stumbled towards the only light source on the roof, revealing what had been hidden in the shadows beforehand. The yellow of his cape was familiar, just as the green of his pixie boots. Tim let out a gasp. Oh no, oh heck no, he'd pepper sprayed Robin! Tears welled up in his eyes and he quickly got up on his feet again, only absently noting that he'd bruised and slightly scabbed the top layer of his skin on his hands. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, Mr. Robin, sir. Are you all right? Robin was still rubbing his eyes, even though the domino should have protected them from most of the damage. What the kid? I'm so sorry, please, I thought you were an attacker or something.
I gathered as much.
Robin's voice was dry and his eyes kept flicking from side to side as if he was searching for someone. Maybe he was looking for Batman? Would he arrest him? Did this count as assault of a police officer? Because Robin was part of law enforcement? But Robin wasn't police, and besides, wouldn't that count as child labor? And child labor was illegal. Or maybe if Batman wasn't going to arrest him, he would do something worse. Tim had assaulted Robin, after all. His lip wobbled.
And stop apologizing. Clearly this was an accident. Good reflexes, though.
Despite himself, Tim preened. Robin thought he had good reflexes. The elation vanished as quickly as it had appeared. So you're not going to arrest me?
What? No. Unless you did something illegal? What are you doing out here on the school night anyway? You can't be older than 7.
Tim bristled. I'm 10, not 7. And I'm definitely not doing anything illegal. I'm just out here because I couldn't sleep.
He lied. He was definitely not a good boy this year. Had Santa actually been real, he'd bring Tim coal. But Tim gave himself a pass for this because there was no way he could tell Robin that he was out here specifically to catch him. That would sound creepy. And then Robin would alert CPS, like that one homeroom teacher who clearly didn't understand that Tim was fine. And man, his parents had been pissed when they had to return to Gotham for that. They hired Mrs. Mack after. So Tim had someone to call to present to stupid people that got too nosy. Not that it wasn't nice to have someone in the country anyway, because Tim had had someone to call when he'd come down with a nasty throat infection and fever, who came and made him soup. Sure, she'd been pretty annoyed by it, but her soup had worked wonders, and it had been less lonely, mostly. But Tim was getting ahead of himself. He needed to stay in the present. The key to a good lie is not to stray too far from the truth and keep himself relaxed, as if whatever he said was completely unquestionable. He didn't even shift under Robin's questioning gaze, sharp eyes taking him in. He was obviously doubting him. But why? So, the camera.
Ah, he'd forgotten about that. Nighttime photography, Tim blurted out. I couldn't sleep, so I went out here to practice my nighttime photography. Yep, Robin hummed.
And what's your name, Mr. Nighttime Photography?
Alvin Draper. At least that was foolproof. He'd been using that alias for years now, and it had a paper trail and an online presence. It had been a lot of work, but it had paid off. Still, he wasn't used to this much scrutiny. Most just ignored him when he was out and about.
Here's the thing, Alvin. This is not a random apartment complex, but an abandoned warehouse. And you don't look like an alley kid either. Especially not with a camera like that. So fess up, what you doing here? Who's paying you? You in trouble? Promise the deal's not worth it.
Tim blanched. He wasn't a criminal, at least not like that, and his stalking definitely fell into a moral and legal gray area. He checked. I swear, I'm not doing anything. I just snuck out to see you. My dad's an officer, and I overheard him talking about this. I just wanted to take pictures. Tim put on his best puppy dog eyes in hopes that his young face would save him once again. Robin snorted and ran a hand through his hair. He wasn't all that much taller than Tim himself, and he was definitely short for his age, probably because of the years of malnutrition on the streets, he hypothesized. He tried to take in as much as possible about his hero. He seldomly got so close to him, and never before had he gotten to talk to him.
I'll believe you for now, but you have to go home, kid. It's dangerous out here, pepper spray or no. And don't let me catch you out again. I'm dragging you back to your parents' door by the ear, all right? Just watch the news. That's plenty of action.
Nope. There was absolutely no way in hell Tim was listening to that. Not when this was the only part of his day that was just for him. He'd never gotten caught before, and he would take care to never be caught again. But he nodded along anyway because this was a great deal easier than anything else. Heck, by the sounds of it, Robin wasn't even going to try and rat him out to his parents. Not that they would actually notice. They were currently in Malaysia, and they hadn't been able to even text for over 2 weeks now. Or maybe they were in Taiwan already. Was it the 23rd? He resisted the urge to look at his phone. There was a small voice from Robin's ear, and Tim could make out the deep gravel of Batman's voice. Not for the first time, he wondered which voice was actually Bruce's real one. Brucey had a higher pitch. Still dark, but nowhere near the bats. Either way, changing your voice for a few hours at a time had to hurt. Maybe he had a gadget. Robin straightened, giving him one last meaningful glance, and grappled away. Slowly, Tim raised his camera and took a picture. He didn't return home for another 3 hours, exhausted but buzzing with excitement. Chapter 2. Old Jason is a menace. It's almost eerie how much this night mirrors last week. Tim is once more on a rooftop after climbing up the rusty fire escape. This time, he's wearing a jacket, and he's glad to have it. He
He still has his pepper spray in his pocket, but he's upgraded to a knife in the other, just to soothe his nerves. His camera is steady in his hand as he watches Batman and Robin take down some bank robbers. These photos were turning out great. The lighting that came from inside the bank and the neon ad wall opposed to it made for some very intriguing aesthetics. He'd stopped going out for an entire weekend out of paranoia that Robin might notice, but he was back with a vengeance. Ha! Tim had already gotten a great shot of Batman casting a huge shadow above the police station, and even if he didn't get another tonight, he'd still go home satisfied. Silently, he promised to make this a relatively short night, if only because he had a big test tomorrow. A low thud landed behind him, and this time Tim was prepared. Pepper spray in hand, he took a quick look to ensure that it wasn't Robin again, and once he saw the black of a power suit not unlike the Bat's, he pulled the trigger. Only, the man came closer anyway, with the best protection against pepper spray there was, a big, shiny red helmet. And then, curiously, he slowly raised his hands in the universal sign for "I come in peace / unarmed." It would have been more convincing had Tim not seen the two guns strapped to either thigh.
"Fuck, kid. Chill out."
The voice was mechanic and lacked inflection. Tim took a few steps backward, can in one hand, knife in the other. Despite the fact that he was waving the blade around in front of him, Tim was definitely not mentally prepared to stab someone, even in self-defense. Thankfully, Helmet Guy kept his distance and made no move towards his weapons.
"Figures you're an absolute menace at any age,"
the guy muttered. He didn't get it. "Who are you? And stay away from me." There was a good 6 feet between them. Not as much as Tim would have liked, but as good as he was going to get on a roof.
"You don't know me yet, brat. But I know you, and you probably won't believe me."
Tim scoffed. Helmet Guy was clearly on something. "Try me, then." Insane Guy slowly raised his hands and did something at the base of his helmet, then lifted it off his head. Tim's hand was trembling around the knife, but he was glad the spray actually had a chance now. A stupid move from Insane Guy. He was still kind of terrified at this standoff, but silver linings, right? Below the helmet, there was a head, obviously. It had dark hair and a single white strand in the front. He could make out a bit of stubble around the chiseled jaw. His eyes were hidden behind a domino. Tim didn't recognize him.
"You don't know me yet, but you will know me, because I'm in the wrong time period."
Tim stared, blinked, and pinched the skin on his hand. Nope, the guy was still there. "You're really gonna go with that? You're from the future? I know I look young, but I'm not stupid."
"You really haven't changed one bit, and I'm not bullshitting you, I swear."
He huffed. "Suppose I'm humoring you right now. Prove it. Prove that you're from the future and that you know me." Tim challenged, absolutely secure in his knowledge that this was some kind of escapee from Arkham.
"Right, let's see. You're Tim Drake, currently what, 10? And you've known who Batman and Robin are for over a year now, and I'm 100% sure your parents are currently traveling without you."
His resolve was wavering. Those were all correct. Parts he could have just found out through stalking, but Batman's identity? No way. "How do you know about Batman? I haven't told anyone." And up until now, he thought he'd never tell another soul. Ever. The perp grinned.
"I'm telling you I'm from the future, and to let you in on a little secret, I'm working with the Bat."
He pointed to the red bat on his chest. Tim frowned. That did look pretty convincing. "Okay, then, if you work with them, tell me Batman's name." The man stepped forward and leant down.
"Bruce Wayne," he whispered, and Tim's resolve collapsed like a wet paper towel.
"So you're really from the future?" he asked anxiously.
"Sure am, Timbo."
"Wicked." Helmet Guy belted out a laugh that echoed from the surrounding buildings. Tim knew that laugh. He tilted his head. "Wait, Jason?" A million things ran through his mind. How was this possible? "But you're so big." And he really was. By the looks of it, Jason would grow into a veritable giant.
"You figured that out pretty quick, Pipsqueak."
now that he was looking more closely, Tim could see the resemblance, if only vaguely. But why didn't you just say you're Robin? Does that mean there are other Robins? And anyway, why did you say we didn't know each other yet when we met just last week? Jason grunted, not unlike the bat. So those sounds were nurture, not nature, then. Yeah, there will be more Robins in the future, and my plans for them have just changed drastically. You said we met last week. Tim nodded. Yeah, that didn't happen in my world. So I'm not in the past, or at least not in my past. Dimension travel? Tim whispered in awe, 100 questions at the tip of his tongue. This was so much better than watching the bats. He'd never had something this exciting happen to him. As far as I can tell, yeah. Meaning I can just tell you what went wrong in my universe, and we can prevent that from happening here. Tim cursed himself for not taking his notepad with him tonight. Okay, to make a really fucking long story short, I die and you become Robin. They were in the Batcave. The actual Batcave. He could barely believe it. But to be honest, this was the most tame part of his time spent with old Jason. So here they were, after a really exhilarating ride on the back of a stolen motorbike through the dark streets of Gotham, Tim clinging to Jason's back with an oversized helmet on his head. And to think he'd been worried about a test. Jason was doing something on the back computer when he began to fizzle at the sides. It was like Tim could no longer look at him straight on. What's happening? I'm guessing they found a way to get me back. Remember, Tim, don't let me go to Ethiopia, no matter what. And between one blink and the next, old Jason was gone. All he had to prove that he'd ever existed in the first place was the still-opened file on the computer and a letter Jason had written. There was the telltale roar of the Batmobile engine driving into the cave. Tim swore his knees were seconds away from buckling over. Batman caught him as soon as he exited the car, a batarang in his hand in an instant as he crossed the distance in broad strides.
Identify yourself, he commanded,
and Tim let out a very unmanly squeak. Foxtrot 3P Texas 11, he said. The last thing Jason had given him was the code for multidimensional travelers. At the same time, Robin, Jason, called out, B, I know him. Batman lowered the batarang.
You're a multidimensional traveler.
He shook his head. No, not exactly. But, I was brought here by one. He wrote you a letter, and there's something on the computer you should take a look at. He said I should be here when we met. Bruce grunted, and again, there really was a resemblance there. He wondered if he, too, would start grunting like that in future.
You're that kid, right? Alvin Draper?
Tim shuffled awkwardly.
Not really? His name is Tim Drake. He's our next door neighbor, and according to this, he already knows who we are.
Robin gasped.
I knew you were lying to me. Wait, you know? How?
I just figured it out, I guess? Tim shrugged.
We're going to come back to that. For now, the traveler seemed to have come from a universe further along, and he left certain instructions behind, including some pretty damning evidence against your parents, Tim.
Tim nodded solemnly. Jason had told him as such. And honestly, a new family didn't sound so bad when it meant getting to live with the bats, getting to live with Robin, maybe even become Robin. And maybe he was really kind of lonely at home.
I think this calls for some of Alfred's famous hot chocolate. Don't you think so, B?
Jason came closer and threw an arm around his shoulders, effectively guiding him up the stairs.
Hmm, he grunted.
Tim giggled. The chocolate was the best he'd ever had. Jason never dies, and they instead stage a rescue for a certain boy already within the league. Along the way, they gain a sister. The end. Thank you for listening.